So, I just got done recording this audio, and when I finished, my phone told me that there was not enough space, and it didn't save. So, this is take two. Hello to all my lovely followers. I'm not really in the mood to make an erotic audio, but I do just feel like talking. I don't really have anyone to talk to anymore, so I thought I would just make an audio kind of telling you all my story. Mostly the story of my addiction, but I think along the way you're gonna learn a lot about me. So, I currently live in Texas, but I grew up in Massachusetts. Both of my parents were alcoholics for my whole life, as long as I can remember. My mom is sober now, and we have a great relationship. She's been my number one supporter through all of this. But growing up, it was not a happy place to live. I was never physically abused, but there was a lot of emotional trauma. So when I was 18, I moved out. And around the same time, I was with my first serious boyfriend. We were together 4 years. Then one day he was supposed to come over to spend the night. He came over, sat me down, and told me he didn't love me anymore and he wanted to break up, which was devastating. We hadn't discussed marriage. And I really thought that was gonna happen. So, about a month after we broke up, I started, casually dating, just meeting new people, going to the movies, going out for coffee, stuff like that. When one day I got a random message on Facebook of one of my ex-boyfriend's acquaintances. They weren't close at all, and I wouldn't even really call them friends, but they went to school together and they knew of each other, and that's how he knew that I was now single. So he reached out to me. Chatted for a while, and we ended up dating. Just like I said, going to the movies, getting lunch together and stuff like that. We would smoke weed occasionally, and then one day he asked me if I would ever try pills. Growing up, I was always very shy and awkward, and it wasn't until college that I really blossomed and started going to clubs and going to parties and stuff like that. And so it was in college I made the decision that I would try anything once. So when he asked if I tried pills, or if I would try pills, I said yes. And I don't know if it was that same day, or if it was a couple days later, but we ended up getting a Perc 30, which is, I believe it's just a 30 milligram of Percocet pill, which is an opioid painkiller. And we ended up smoking it off of tinfoil. And I would say this is when my love affair with opiates began. I remember after taking that first hit, it felt like someone had grabbed my ankles and just pulled me underwater, under a crashing wave. And I had this kind of heavy feeling, but weightless at the same time. It's really hard to describe if you've never felt it before, but it was my perfect high, I guess you could say. And so, we would use pills together, just occasionally at first, every couple days, maybe on the weekends. And then one day he asked me if I would ever do heroin. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but he was already a heroin addict and was slowly introducing me to that lifestyle. And when he asked me that, I immediately said no. My gut reaction was just to say no. And I left his place, and when I went home, over the next few days, I kind of thought about it and started thinking, well, heroin is essentially the same as these pills, just stronger. I've been fine up until this point. This guy was fine. He had two jobs. He had a car. I realized that drugs aren't that scary. And that's my biggest qualm with at least the way my generation was taught about drugs and drug use and addiction. Because when I was in school, we had the DARE program, which primarily focused on making kids afraid to even try drugs. So, you know, they would show you videos of a naked girl strung out running down the street, or addicts in Walmart parking lots begging for change, and they would say, this is what happens when you do drugs, this is going to be you if you have an addiction. Which, in severe cases, yes, but for the typical addict, no, that's not the reality. And so once a teenager realizes that drugs aren't as scary as school made them think, there's nothing left to dissuade them to continue using, because they don't know the effects of addiction, the effects that it has on your family, and what withdrawal is like and all that. So, sorry, I went on a tangent there. Back to my story. So yeah, I started to realize that drugs aren't as scary as people wanted me to believe. So the next time I saw him, I said yes. I said I would try. And much like the pills, it was kind of like in every few days, maybe on the weekends, until 3 or 4 weeks down the line, I was doing it every day. And I remember meeting with one of his friends that was also an addict and telling him that I had been using every day for 3 weeks or whatever it was. And I remember his friend looking at me and telling me, "Oh, it's too late. If you stop now, you're gonna have withdrawal symptoms. You're an addict now." And I remember thinking, no, I'm not. I could stop now. Withdrawals wouldn't be so bad. I'm fine. And then 2 or 3 weeks later is when I really realized that I was in too deep now, that I would have withdrawals if I were to stop. And so I just kept going. I was too scared of withdrawals. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what my options were. So I just continued to use. It eventually got to the point where we couldn't keep up using between paychecks. We were spending our money too fast and buying too much. And we didn't have anything to keep us going on the off days. So we started selling our possessions. He sold his Xbox One. I sold my jewelry. Anything we thought we could get money for, we sold. And then when we ran out of things to sell, I started stealing from my family. At this point, my grandfather had passed away and left my mom a small inheritance of about $5,000 in cash. She kept it in a safe, but I knew where she had written down the combination. So at this point, I was living with my boyfriend. And in the middle of the night, I would go over, sneak inside, open the safe, and take between $100 and $300. And at first, I intended to pay her back, but I just kept taking a little bit more and a little bit more until I realized I couldn't pay it back anymore. It was just too much, and she was gonna notice eventually. And once I realized that, I just took the rest of it. Because I figured she's already gonna notice. She's already gonna disown me or whatever. And so I figured, just fuck it, and I took the rest of it. And, she did realize, and I had to come clean about my addiction, and she changed the locks on the house, so I couldn't get in, and, once we were out of that money, there was nothing left for me to do. So I had a conversation with my boyfriend, and we agreed that I would use a website called Seeking Arrangement to essentially exchange sexual favors for cash, which is not the intended use of the site. I was abusing the site, so this is nothing. This is not to say that the website seeking arrangement is bad, or there's you know, people like that on there. I mean, I'm sure there are, but I was not using the site as intended. So I was under the impression that we were on the same page, me and my boyfriend. And so I started meeting with these men, and I would meet them on Seeking Arrangement, but I would iron out the details of the meetup via the app Kick. So I would we would figure out a price, we would agree upon a price, what I would do, if there was something they wanted me to wear. All that was figured out on the app Kick. And that is why, if you ever ask me to download Kick, the answer is no. I will never download Kick again, just because of the negative experiences that I've had with it. So, there was one day I had met a gentleman one evening. Performed we did a transaction, I guess I'll say. And then the next day, my boyfriend took all of the money that I had, I guess, earned, and then also took my phone to go pick up drugs. And the reason he took my phone is because he had sold his. And so my phone was the only device that we had to hit up drug dealers and arrange that side of it. So I had stayed back this time, stayed at home, and fell asleep. And when I woke up, he was standing over me. He was standing on the bed, standing over me, yelling at me. And he told me what he did. And what he had done was, he had taken screenshots of the conversations I had had with these men, took screenshots of pictures I had sent them of undergarments that they wanted me to wear, everything about arranging a price, where we would meet, all of that, and posted it to my own personal Facebook page. So everyone saw it. All of my friends, my family, everyone realized that I was an addict now and what I was doing to support my habit. And not only was it embarrassing, but it was my dirty laundry, I guess. And when I realized that this is what happened, I attempted suicide, but thankfully it was not successful. I'm not gonna talk about that. Anyway, my mom reached out to me and asked me to go out to lunch a couple days later after all this happened, and I agreed. So I met her for lunch, and at this lunch meeting, she gave me kind of an ultimatum. I could either go to rehab voluntarily, or she would notify the police, and if I were to get pulled over or stopped for whatever reason, and my information was run through the system, they could involuntarily commit me to a rehab. So I decided to go voluntarily because I just wanted to get away from my boyfriend. There had been other situations in the past that were abusive, but this Facebook thing was kind of the last straw, where I realized it wasn't gonna get any better, it was only getting worse, and things were gonna continue to escalate if I didn't get out. So I went to rehab I truly wasn't ready to get sober at that point, though. I wanted to get away from my boyfriend, but I wasn't ready to give up my addiction. So, while I was at rehab, I found out that I was pregnant and was terrified, needless to say. But I kind of just avoided it, I guess. I pretended that it wasn't, which is silly to say, but I thought if I just ignored it, then I wouldn't have to worry about it. But anyway, obviously at rehab, I got sober. After rehab, I went to an outpatient facility in Mississippi. And then after Mississippi, I went to a sober living in Texas. And after finishing sober living, I just stayed in Texas. I didn't want to go back to Massachusetts. I didn't want to see any of the people that I knew or knew what had happened. Yeah, I had my baby. And almost immediately after having my son, I relapsed. And because of this relapse, my son was taken into foster care. And it was in this moment that I really wanted to get sober. That I was really done with my addiction and everything it had taken from me. I lost everything. I lost all of my valuables. I lost the trust of my family. I lost a place to live. And now to lose my baby boy, the one thing I felt like was truly mine, the one person in this world that would love me no matter what, besides my family, was gone, and I wasn't gonna let that happen. So I really got sober. I was just done. I just did it. I went to NA programs. I went to, what is it called? Parenting classes. I had random drug screenings, court appearances. All of the hoops that CPS makes you jump through, I did it for 11 long months. I did everything they asked of me. And I got my son back. And now we're still living in Texas together, but we have our own place. I mean, I have a roommate, but we're together, and that's all that I care about. Yeah, my son saved my life, and that's why I wouldn't do anything differently, because I truly don't believe that I would be sober right now if I didn't have him. So that's pretty much where I am now. Like I said, I have my own place. I have a job. I have a car. I'm able to provide for my son. And things are stressful at times. Very stressful, but it has been more than worth it. More than worth it. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. That's my story. I hope you enjoyed listening. I'm really fucking tired now. I just spent like an hour trying to get this done. So, I'm gonna go crawl into bed now. But I hope you all have a wonderful night as well. And if you're struggling with anything, whether it's an addiction or anything, really, nothing is impossible. Really and truly, nothing is impossible. And I will leave you with this little cliche that I learned in rehab. There is no such thing as rock bottom. You just decide to stop digging.